Chen Rob McGregor welcome you to a place where all kinds of phenomena flourish. Voices whisper, ancient secrets, signs and symbols are abundant. UFOs, ETs, ghosts, and even the dead move about freely. Here we meet authors, researchers, and investigators of the mysterious, the strange, and of the inexplicable anomalies that surround us. Step out of the everyday world and take a journey into the mystical underground.
Welcome to the Mystical Underground. Thank you for joining us. This is Rob McGregor and
Trish McGregor.
And our producer and tech magician, John Posey. You can go to the mysticalunderground.com where we make regular blog posts and where you can find out about our books. Among them are Phenomena, Harnessing Your Psychic Abilities, The Secrets of Spirit Communication, Sensing the Future, and Aliens in the Backyard. Our latest book is called Mind-Blowing Synchronicities, the latest science stories and research. Trish's latest novel, White Crows. Rob's most recent novel is called Tulpas. If you are watching us on YouTube, we would appreciate it if you would take a second to click the like, subscribe, and notification buttons so you never miss an episode. If you prefer to listen to the show, it is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe there. Okay. Hang on.
and real quick, Rob, if you don't mind, get close to the mic. But
yeah,
we're good. We're good so far. But yeah.
Okay.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Better. Yeah.
Better. Okay. All right. Our guest today is Michael Koff. Michael is a paranormal investigator, a Reiki master, and a podcaster. He has been involved in more than 100 investigations of hauntings and other paranormal activities. He is also a world traveler and has had paranormal experiences in several countries. His podcast is called The Energy That Surrounds Us, and we appeared on that podcast with Michael a few weeks ago. Welcome, Michael. How are you doing?
It's good to have you, and we apologize for what happened before.
Oh, no worries. I'm used to doing live shows. And
yeah.
Actually, funny thing is, Rob, is you are on tonight on my series, Riding Through the Unknown, my second show.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. That's why you did the recording. Yeah, okay. I remember.
It wasn't The Energy That Surrounds. So what did you say the name of it was then?
The one up? Riding Through the Unknown.
Yeah, I saw that listed too. Okay, wow, you're doing two different podcasts at the alternately, or how do you do that?
I do The Energy That Surrounds Us on Tuesday nights, and then Wednesday nights I do Riding Through the Unknown. And actually, twice a month on Thursdays, we try to do Paranormal Versus, where I co-host with a friend in the UK, Kel Ridley, and Enoch Smith out of North Carolina.
Wow.
How do you keep all this straight?
Yeah. I have multiple calendars.
Right. Yeah, and next month you will be MC at a Disclosure Now conference. Is that true? Tell us about that conference. Where is it? When is it? And
who's going to be there?
Yeah.
So it'll be July 15th to the 18th. It's in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I believe it's pronounced Serrata Hotel. Our convention center is where it's going to be. I just know that's where I'm staying. And it's on the beach, and there's going to be speakers there. John Charles Moyet, Brad Olson. I believe Laura Eisenhower is going to be there. Penny Bradley. Christy Campbell will be there. And it's a conference that's designed to open people's minds to not only are there UFOs out there and the existence of aliens, but also the fact that our government has been doing some secret programs and utilizing children and other people in these programs, and like MK Ultra, or another acronym is the Secret Space Program. So it's designed to raise awareness and to help people understand that everything we're seeing in the world around us is not necessarily exactly what we think we're seeing, that there is some stuff going on behind the scenes. And so it's our attempt to bring awareness to say, here's what's going on, here's what people have been through, here's their experiences, in a safe way to where people can either listen or they can leave the room if they don't want to hear that story and listen to someone else. And so it's a really, I'm hoping it's going to be a really great experience. I didn't get to attend the first one last year, but I'll be attending this one, and I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of the guests that have been on my show in person and just connect, and all the connection that's going to happen.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, I was taking notes because we need to have some of those people on this one. So,
I have a question, Michael. What does Laura Eisenhower know?
What do you mean?
She is the granddaughter of
Dwight
Eisenhower, and she's sharing her experiences of what she experienced and went through growing up. And she's been promoting a lot about the revival of the divine sacred feminine as well.
Does she have a book?
I believe she does have a book or two.
We'll have to look that up. Yeah, it's interesting.
Because I believe that wasn't Eisenhower the one who went to Area 51 or Roswell?
I'm not sure if he went to Roswell, but I know he was supposed to have the meeting with, they call like Val Thor and a bunch of other races, they say, and sign treaties and stuff. And I think from the stories that I heard was when he entered the room, he was basically told this is what's going to happen. And it wasn't a meeting like we would expect. And so I think that's why he made the famous beware the military complex.
Ah, right.
Because he saw what was coming.
I think he met with Jackie Gleason, you know, the comedian, actor, who was also very interested in the UFO phenomena and had some experience, too. I remember reading about that years ago. Yeah.
And I have to say, from my point of view and perspective, I wish society didn't have the mentality of ridiculing people that would come forward in the past, because hearing, like, you know, Jackie Gleason having that experience would have been amazing to hear from him and other people hearing their experiences firsthand. But because society was ridiculing them, nobody would come forward. Right. And all those stories have now become hearsay, or, you know, you can't validate. So it's like, can you use them?
Yeah.
Well, you know, even when Whitley Strieber's book Communion first came out, he was really ridiculed.
Yeah, it hasn't stopped. Not from the mainstream science. Right. But, you know, it has lessened. You know, people are many more people are more interested in willing to talk and think about it and tell about their experiences. And what about abductions? Everything that I've heard, that's cooled off. People aren't being abducted anymore. Is that the case? Have you heard anything different from that?
Well, I think there's been, like, they figured out there's been two levels of abductions. Is some of the abductions I've heard are actually they go on to a craft and partake in certain programs and doing stuff with ETs. But then there's also a group that have been abducted in its black ops military groups.
Yeah, right.
are using back engineered UFOs to make people think they're being abducted by aliens, and it's our own government and other agencies doing it. And so I think it's kind of cooled down a little bit because people are now sitting back and going, who did what? What happened?
Yeah.
Or just jumping out there, because now there's the element of who did it, and you don't want to step out and say, oh, I was abducted by this, and then they find out, oh, you were actually abducted by this group, and people start questioning the credibility.
Yeah.
There's another option, too, because some abductees, especially when they recall or go through hypnotic regression, they don't just remember aliens, but they remember military people, too, both of them present.
And right.
So that's another possibility. Yeah.
There is talks of groups that work together, like they'll have military next to ETs, and they're like, yeah, when that happens, it's like the stories usually take a darker abduction turn than they were just wanting your blood and wanting to check, you know, what's going on with you. And I've even heard stories of people who were abducted that had ailments. When they woke up, the ailments were gone. That the ETs abducted and healed them. So I'm like,
right,
bring that on. I'll
yeah, really. Yeah. I mean, come on down now.
Yeah. Yeah. We know somebody who had a bad, a knee was really painful knee problem. And after her abduction, her knee was completely healed.
Well, we also, in Aliens in the Backyard, we wrote about a woman who couldn't get pregnant, but had missing time and ended up pregnant. And then she was headed to Vermont. She lived in upstate New York. This was Deborah. And during the trip to Vermont to go to this specialty clinic, she was with two friends. They turned off.
It was a fog.
There was a fog, a really deep fog. So they turned off to wait for a few minutes, and they were on this road where there was this barn. So they went inside, and it was like a restaurant. And there were these two small people who were serving them. And she remembered having something sweet to drink, and then she remembered nothing for 3 hours.
It was something they tasted that never tasted anything quite like it, a kind of a thick, sweet liquid. And then the next thing they know, they're at the ferry ready
to go. Lake Champlain, ready to go.
And when
she got to the clinic, they told her she wasn't pregnant.
Yeah.
So
oddly enough, that was the same woman who had the knee healed, too, had another experience.
Yeah, well, trade off. Why not?
Right. Yeah.
Well, take your baby, but we'll heal your knee.
Yeah. Since we're giving you missing time, we'll heal your knee so you don't feel so bad.
And take your baby.
Yeah.
Actually, talking about taking babies, there's a author here in Texas I've had on my show. Her name is Karen Wilkinson. She wrote a book about having her baby stolen from her. But here was the interesting thing of her story. She would be going to the doctor. They have her recorded as being, like, say, 2 months pregnant, 3 months pregnant. She'll have a UFO experience, and something will feel off, and all of a sudden she'll go to the doctor, and she'll say, what's going on? And they go, well, funny thing, you know how we said you were pregnant? Your body has zero evidence of ever being pregnant right now. And when I first heard this, I was like, and I even said to her, I said, how in science can you take a body that's been pregnant for so long that has evidence, all of a sudden there's no evidence? We don't have that technology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing that happened to Deborah when she went to the specialist. The nurse came back and said, you're not pregnant. There's no No evidence at all that you're pregnant.
And yet the test from the previous doctor she'd gone to said she was definitely pregnant.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I mean, it's stuff like that that to me is so amazing and is unrefutable when you have evidence. You can show the doctor report saying pregnant, the next visit, not pregnant, no signs. We don't have medical technology to reverse that.
Yeah. Well, what was weird, too, about her story, I mean, when she and the other two women left, they went past this same... They never found the road that led to this weird barn where they stopped to have something to eat. It just wasn't there. Now, that's strange.
So, Michael, have you had UFO alien encounters at all yourself?
So I had an interesting experience where I was visiting my parents and I just had this feeling I needed to walk outside. And so I went outside and my house was maybe like a 8-minute walk from my parents' house. And I'm looking in the direction of my house and all of a sudden I look in the sky because nothing was going on. I was like, why am I out here? And I look up in the sky and there's a cloud above my house. And there's no other clouds really in the sky. It's like there's one huge cloud. And I'm like, that's strange, you know, to have a single cloud in the sky.
Was it nighttime?
It was nighttime. And it was really quiet. And all of a sudden, I noticed like a yellowish light and a reddish light going periodically in this cloud. And I'm like, I know heat lightning. It wasn't heat lightning. I know ball lightning. It wasn't ball lightning. The first thing my mind goes is says, these are impacts. Like something's hitting something behind that cloud. And I watch a lot of sci-fi and I'm like, my mind goes, I'm thinking there's laser fights going on where lasers are hitting the shield because it was like a little burst and then it would disappear. No sound, no nothing. And I go, I think I'm witnessing a UFO battle over my house. So instead of getting my camera out like you would think, being a paranormal investigator, I would. I go inside instead and say, hey, mom, you want to see, or dad, you want to see a UFO battle in the sky? And my mom goes, yeah. So she came out and we're witnessing this. And as we're witnessing it, I remember going in my head and going, okay, please, if you're having this battle over my sky, make sure you disintegrate whoever's falling, because I don't think I can explain to my insurance company. An object fell from space, hit my house, and it's not a meteorite.
God.
But, well,
you know, there's that... I was just going to say that historically in the 1950s, there is this Los Angeles battle where the military was firing weapons at
No, it was in D.C.
Well, no, it was the Battle of Los Angeles, too.
Yeah, there was one. Yeah.
Yeah. D.C., they're just coming right over the White House. On, I think, three consecutive days. But in Los Angeles, they were just firing on them. Yeah.
Well, and that one, if memory is right with the timing, it was like either during or shortly after World War II. So the military was more trigger happy and like going, we got to defend the country. We're still a little bit on nerve of, you know, coming off of this. And so I do wonder if that UFO came over Los Angeles maybe like 5-6 years later. If they would have fired on it or been like, okay, we have something in the sky we're watching. Maybe we should launch some planes to investigate.
All right.
Let's not open fire first.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's the whole question that, you know, people go back and forth. Are they dangerous or are they friends? Dangerous, they're friends. Yeah, obviously, they're not too dangerous or they would have wiped us out already, obvious. You know, they probably have, you know, the capacity to do that easily. You'd think, you know, if they're, you know, a million years more advanced than we are or whatever, You know, I think maybe it's more like the opposite, that they're protecting us from some the others that might want to do that.
I agree. And when you look at, like, you know, some evidence of that is there's Renaissance art where people look at it and they go, oh, look, this star is shining down and it's telling, you know, it's telling us this is a divine person. And I'm looking at the painting and I'm like, you do realize that's a flying saucer that's illuminating this situation, right?
Right. Yeah. Like, it's so obvious.
It's a star. I'm like, no, that is not a star.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's in artwork. It's in ancient ruins. I mean, there's even ruins in Crete of dinosaurs embedded in rock portals, like doorways. And it makes you sit there and think, how did they know what dinosaurs look like? We don't even know today what dinosaurs look like. We're guessing today what they looked like and what everything from putting bones together. But they didn't put bones together back then, as far as we know. So it's like, how did they make these representations?
Yeah. You know, there's the other perspective, too, that people think that, well, maybe they're coming here to find out who we are, what we're about, how advanced we are. But, you know, that's possible, but it's more likely that they've been around a long time and maybe even seeded the planet.
That is my theory. I kind of go along with the, we were a race of slave workers, going, you know, doing biddings for people. And then in the Sumerian age, they were like, well, we need gold and we need people to mine this gold. So we got to kind of up their level of intelligence to find and mine this gold. And so, lo and behold, we make a jump in evolution. We get smarter. We learn something, but it goes a little AWOL for them because they leave and we continue to grow and get smarter. And lo and behold, we're starting to split the atom and doing all this. And they're coming back, I think, and saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. You guys
want
to go on this route.
Right.
We got to come back and fix our mess.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Michael, what was it like growing up in the paranormal field? I mean, as a kid.
It was really hard for me because I didn't know about the paranormal growing up, actually. I grew up in metaphysics, so I was thinking everything was a spiritual experience and looking at it as spiritual growth and lessons. And I would play games with shadow beings, thinking, oh, you know, this is a spiritual race or something that's here to help learn and, you know, just having fun with it. And then I get older, start watching paranormal shows, and I'm like, wait a minute, what do you mean that's paranormal? And start doing podcasting and hearing other people describe what I was going through. I'm going, wait, like, I had one guest that said shadow beings are these evil beings, and I'm like, wait a minute, you mean I was playing games with these evil people? Wait a minute, hold the phone. And I was like, what? I was like, no, there's got to be differences, because the ones I was around were always benevolent. They never tried to hurt or do anything malintent to me. So I was like, I think there's got to be, like, dual types. And that's when I started looking at other stories that people were having and going, yeah, so, you know, we have good people, we have bad people. There's good ETs, there's bad ETs. So, okay, yeah. Now, looking at it that way, it's like, I go, okay, now when I talk about this experience, I go, okay, I was dealing with the good ETs because this is what I was experiencing, what I was going through. And I hate to say, be the cynical person and being like, if someone mentioned the word reptilian, I would be like, oh no, all reptilians gotta go. They were all bad. And then I found out later, I'm like, well, there are some good ones. And so, you know, I can't judge the whole, quote,
the whole species or race, yeah,
by the actions of a few. And then all of a sudden I was like, well, yeah, because there's bad Palladians, there's black, you know, and good Palladians, there's good and bad, you know,
and humans too, right?
Right. But when I say good and bad, I don't mean like in our terms of going, yeah, you know, like here's the people that are here to save us and here are the people yeah. that are here to enslave us. I'm looking at it more of the beneficial, they're here to help, and malevolent, meaning they're here to harm. I'm uh-huh. like, there's the split. Is there are some races out there who are doing the abductions, putting us into wars for their own needs, and that's happening out there as part of the secret space program. And on the same coin, the same people have groups that are coming here that are saying, hey, you know, here's some holographic technology that could help you heal. Hmm. Or here's, you know, the stuff that can benefit you. And so it's like you got two sides of the same coin doing two things. And it's like, yeah, hmm. we got to yeah. watch which side we yeah. align to.
Right. So it, you know, it could be that like hundreds of thousands of years ago, they came and altered our DNA so we advanced more quickly. But then they could have also changed that back again to alter to keep us down on the farm here, too.
Exactly. Because. I mean, when we look at, like, the legends of Atlantis, flying mm-hmm. cars, right. and everybody laughs about that and says, oh, that's all make-believe. I'm like, is it, though? Because, mm-hmm. you know, here we have culture that's aware of things that were not around. Look at the Nazca lines. They have right. drawings of monkeys. Monkeys did not exist in Nazca. Yeah. How did they know what a monkey looked like? The same with spiders or astronauts even. And so when you look at the lines, it's like, wait a minute. If we did make those, how did we know what they looked like?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like to ask that question. They just are like, no, they obviously seen it and drew the picture. I'm like, not so likely when it's on another across another ocean or two. I don't think, you know, somebody just came over and said, oh yeah, you know, hey, look at this monkey and left.
Yeah, I think there's a lot, number of different things that are cross culture that from a time when they shouldn't know what's going on the other side of the world, because you know there wasn't any communication, supposedly wasn't any communication, but there was something going on.
Right. And one thing, Rob and Trish, you might find interesting is look at an ancient Phoenician coin. The back of it has the Mississippi River on it.
Huh.
How did Phoenicians know the Mississippi River? And they map it perfectly. And I was talking with a guest, his name is George Mitrovic. And he pointed out the largest vein and collection of copper was the north end of the Mississippi Valley.
Huh.
So when they were in the Bronze Age making everything out of copper, they're coming to America, mining it. And when copper was no longer needed because we advanced to the Iron Age, then all of a sudden, you know, what does civilization do? Hey, you know, copper's no longer needed. Drop your tools, set sail, and they return home and start working on collecting what they need for the Iron Age. And we were forgotten. And so we actually have history that dates back as far as, like, the United Kingdom, but... Mm-hmm. Because of the change in era and technology, they abandoned us, so we became lost to history until later we were found again.
Huh.
And everybody goes, oh, look at this new land. It's like, we weren't a new land. We've always been there. It's just people forgot.
Yeah. Oh, there was also a famous map. I can't remember the name of it right now, from like 2,500 years ago, that shows Antarctica. And I think there's no ice on it either.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It shows it as a green, lush land until there was a shift in the poles, and then it became the ice cap.
Right. Yeah. That's cool.
Well, Michael, do you think we're approaching something like that now?
I think we are, but I don't think it's going to be a shift like people are thinking, where the planet is going, like north is going to become west and cause all these cataclysms. I think the shift is our awareness.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely going on, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is
a shift in consciousness.
People who normally don't see UFOs and believe in that are going to have an experience to where they're going to see it and either go, okay, I'm seeing it, and I don't know if I can believe what my eyes are seeing. And if they choose not to, they're just not going to. But if they choose to, then they're going to start awakening to everything we've already been aware of. And I think that's why people like you are coming up with your synchronistic background and theories to help people that are, like, I use the term wayshower to describe myself. And our job is to simply say, yeah, you know, I'm so glad you're now seeing this.
We're making connections.
New world where... Yeah. Look at all this stuff over here that we've known about.
Right.
And it's like, we can help them transition faster and easier.
Yeah, it's like the scientists at Skinwalker Ranch. You know, they're using all advanced equipment and experiments and coming up and being astonished with they see UAPs, they call them, rather than UFOs, and they go right through the land and out again, and you know, all kinds of strange things happening. And you know, it's they're like on the cutting edge of science, and they're seeing these things and
they're studying them.
Yeah.
And I gotta give kudos to Brandon, the owner of Skinwalker Ranch, because we had prior owners there who did the science, but then...
They kept it secret.
Yeah, they never shared anything, where Brandon's answer is, okay, we may have done this experiment, nothing happened, but we're going to tell everybody we did this experiment and nothing happened. And,
exactly. They show things that are when it goes wrong, you know, and then that opens up another question, why did it go wrong?
Right, and it shows... You know, we use the term rabbit hole, and I think that's the perfect acronym for it, because as you're going through and you're finding answers and everything, everybody thinks, okay, well, now that I know the answer to this, you know, everything's done. But what people don't realize is, as you're finding these answers, there's more questions coming up, and so it's like you got another layer to go on. And then when you solve that layer, you have another layer, because each answer brings about new questions.
Right.
And that's what Skinwalker explores.
Yeah. And and then they have the spinoff show Beyond Skinwalker Ranch. And they're coming up with, at different ranches and different places, coming up with some of the same type of events.
And admittedly, I do have my moments where I watch, like, the Skinwalker Ranch show, and they'll be doing more rockets, and I'm like,
yeah, they have fun with those rockets.
Becoming a show of rockets.
Yeah, I know. I've said the same, very same thing. You know, they're going to shoot up a rocket again. No, what is the point of this?
They love doing it.
We have an anomaly at this height. Let's shoot a rocket at it. And when they say that, you know, in the back of your mind, you're like, okay, when they say a rocket, you can guess to me there's going to be like 10 rockets being thrown at this thing. It's never just a rocket.
Right. And then they bring up, they have these people that bring these drones in and put up 300 drones, you know, above the triangle, and they start falling out of the sky, you know.
Although my favorite evidence on Skinwalker Ranch that I know can't be faked, and I'm feeling confident that Brandon's brother wouldn't do it even if he could, and that's all the GPS that they get from those flights where he's up in the air doing the experiments and they're dropping these GPS tags and dropping all this equipment that has GPS on it, and then they show it, and they're like, did you know at one point you were 20 miles under the ground? And you're like, what? Yeah. What do you mean I went underground? I was above the triangle, or I was above this area the whole time. And they go, yeah, here's your GPS data.
Yeah, LIDAR, they use LIDAR, and LIDAR is not so, although they use it for archaeology, but it just shows the surface. They can see like slightly below the surface, you know, below the grass and weeds and everything, but they can't go underground. But on Skinwalker Ranch, they go like 300 feet underground and get readings, and they don't understand it.
Right. It's like they'll be looking and they'll be like, there's this tree, and they're like, there should be a tree there, but look at where it is. It's underground. And they're like, that's not where that tree is.
Yeah.
I mean, the place is full of mystery. Yeah. It's just,
it is.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you about some of your past too. You mentioned that you've had three near-death experiences. That sounds pretty scary. Could you talk a little bit about that? What happened?
So the one main one that I have, and this one is, it's got a little bit of story to it, is to set it up, is I don't get sick very often. And if I do, it's very short term. Like a 24-hour flu for me is like 2 hours, and then I'm over it. And so I'm very hot-natured. So with that being said, this experience now, why I'm saying that, will make sense. So being in Texas in the summer, it's beastly hot. Well, I'm sitting in my house in my living room, and I start feeling cold. And I'm like, how am I feeling cold? It's summertime. This, you know, this is impossible. So I think, well, maybe the AC is off. So right. I don't want to change it. So I can just put a shirt on. And I put instead of a short sleeve, a long sleeve shirt on. And I'm like, I'm comfortable. And I'm watching TV and I notice I'm still feeling cold. And it's actually getting colder. And I'm like, I know the AC's not broken. So I thought, well, you know, I have this blanket right next to me. I'll just throw a blanket on. And so I'm wrapped in this blanket. And all of a sudden, you know how when you get so cold, it's like you feel like your bone is hurting because it's so cold. It's like a painful cold. Well, I started getting that, and I was like, something's not right. So I put another blanket on, and so I'm sitting here, and what most Texas nights are is like in the summer, the lowest we get is like 85. God, so they're not Florida. Cold. We don't get cold nights in the summer. And I am bundled up in a long sleeve shirt, two blankets on, and I just keep getting colder and colder. So I worked for my parents at the time, and so I called my mom, and I go, Mom, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it into work tomorrow. Something's really wrong. I am feeling so cold right now, and, you know, I don't get cold. And she's like, I know. Just why don't you go to sleep? See how you feel in the morning, and if, you know, you're still experiencing in the morning, we'll go from there. But just take care of yourself. Thanks for letting us know. And so I finished watching TV to the point that I could. And then I was like, I got to go because I'm starting to sweat now.
Huh.
And it's not a sweat from having all this blankets and long sleeve clothing on. It's a cold sweat. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, man, I'm even sweating cold. This is not good. So I get up and I notice I'm a little disoriented. And I walk through the hallway and I turn and go down the hallway and I'm seeing my bedroom. And in the center of my room is this 4-post solid wood bed frame. Now I get into my room and the next thing I know, the room starts to spin.
Yes.
And then I wake up and I'm on the floor.
Jeez.
And I'm like, and my chin hurts really bad. And I'm like, why does my chin hurt? And I look and there's a mark on my chin where, and I go, I must have hit my chin on the bedpost. And I'm lucky I didn't break my jaw or anything. And I come to realize, okay, I'm not feeling so well. It's not that I'm cold now. It's like, it feels like my body has gone through some sort of metamorphosis or change, and it had excess of something. And so I go rushing into the bathroom, didn't quite make where I was targeting to get, and so had a lot of cleanup. But it reminded me of in movies when you see tissue and everything, when it regenerates, it purges the old out. That's what I felt like I went through.
Huh.
And I get everything cleaned up and I'm feeling like my normal self. I'm not feeling cold and everything. And I don't know how much time has passed. I never thought to look at a clock to see. Has it been hours, minutes, you know, what happened? But I started to notice my dog came running in and was just sitting there. And I was like, wait a minute. I just realized something. And it's like my mind started putting in different thought patterns like that I was thinking about, started mapping them out. And I'm like, all these things that I was wondering, I'm like, okay, I think I figured them out. And I start to notice my mind is putting things together. And I'm like, this is new. And I go, well, and I'll turn something on and I'll be like, well, this is actually going to end this way. I have a, you know, like somehow of a knowing of how this is going to turn out. And I'm like, this is new. Okay. And I go to sleep thinking I need to sleep this off. Don't really know what's going on. The next day I go to work, totally fine. And I start noticing as I'm talking to people, my mind is processing differently. And so I feel like what happened is when my awareness was going to another level, the body shut itself down to be like a computer when it updates itself. It shuts down, reboots, everything new is installed. Well, I feel like that's what happened in my near-death experiences. My body shut down and then rebooted and was like, okay, we're now at this level. We're now understanding this now. And I'm like, okay. And I had another experience, not so drastic, like I didn't pass out or anything, but it's like I was aware, then there was missing time, and then I had a new awareness, and I was like, okay, guys, in all seriousness, if you're going to start doing awakenings with me and, you know, upgrading me, stop doing it this way because I could be behind a car. Or I could be, you know, handling something that's dangerous.
Right.
and you're just knocking me out with no warnings, and I could be in harm's way doing this reboot. So please stop putting myself.
Did you think this was ETs?
I don't, you know, it could have been ETs and it could have been my higher self.
Uh-huh.
I really don't know, honestly, 100% to say one or the other. Could have been both.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but yeah, it's like, it's funny when you have these moments and you're sitting there going to these, you know, if it is, you know, an ET being going and saying to them, and it's like, I know you guys have been doing this for centuries and are really good at this, but I'm going to tell you how we're going to do it now. And be like, yeah, this is not going to go the way you want it to go. We got to do it my way.
Yeah. So you had to go through some stuff to get to a point where you are now, in a sense.
I think so, and I think a lot of people do, and because it's something like, you know, that we don't talk about or isn't talked about regularly, people misidentify it and think, oh, this, you know, something wrong. They go to doctors, and I'm not putting down, you know, saying don't ever go to a doctor, but sometimes doctors don't know what you're going through either and will just throw pills at it, which makes it worse. So sometimes you may be better off not to go to the doctor, but I'm not a health person, so don't misconstrue what I'm saying and stop going. You know, if you're getting benefit, keep it going.
Yeah, sometimes I don't say everything to a doctor because they're going to come up with some idea for another pill, you know, which I don't need.
Right.
So let's move on to your work as a paranormal investigator. You worked on some, you've worked with different groups. So you have a lot of friends in the paranormal field. And I like you worked with one group called the Southern Fried Spirit Paranormal. That's
That's a great name.
Yeah, you do come across some great, interesting names, and some names you look at and you're like, what were you thinking when you named your team?
Yeah, I interviewed a group called the Three Souls, but there's four of them.
Yeah. They never changed their name.
Right. So are most of these investigations, are they related to hauntings?
Most of them were related to hauntings, and only recently, probably I would say in the past 6 months to a year, did I start broadening and start going enough of just one type of investigation. Let's, you know, look at start doing other types. And I'd always been doing it, but it's like I say with people on riding through the unknown or the energy that surrounds us when we're talking about like UFOs or stuff like that, that in today's terminology, you know, it's no big deal hearing that. Everybody's like, oh yeah, I know that term. But I remind people, we're looking at back like the 80s, 70s, when this was not a normal spoken about subject. So you didn't have your best friend to call up on the phone and go, hey, yeah, I think I saw a UFO. Yeah. So the time has changed. And so I look at investigations now and I'm like going, in today's terms, we're able to investigate these phenomenon and really look at what's going on because it's more accepted now.
Right.
In the past, you had the threat of being locked up in a loony bin for saying, I seen a light in the sky. So you kept it to yourself. So a lot of history is gone that will never get back.
Yeah, but we've noticed the change ourselves. I mean, when we go to the dog park, take our golden retriever and meet different people. And sometimes they, they're there because the spouse has died or somebody mentioned the spouse has died or somebody's died. And Trisha always say, well, have you had contact? And surprisingly, you know, we've never talked to these people about anything metaphysical, paranormal.
Most of them have.
And they say, yes, that's, you know, surprising.
John, and they go into specifics, too. Like one woman said, yeah, as soon as my husband died, I started finding pennies in my bed. And then I started finding them in my suitcase and in the kitchen, you know, and there was some story that she had about pennies and her husband, you know, stuff like that. Very specific incidents.
Yeah. John, didn't you have some experience recently? You with us, John?
Oh, yep. I'm here. Okay. No, well, so, I don't want to do this right now.
You put him on the spot, Rob.
but no, actually, I believe an experience this morning. My best friend growing up, his mom passed away, end of last week. And the last time that I saw her was simply because I drove down and met my friend in the area that we, you know, in the Shoals, where we grew up, to go to a concert. And so we went to the concert the next morning. Him, his wife, and his daughter were staying with his wife's parents. And so, yeah, after the concert, he had, you know, we parted ways, and I was going to get up and drive back up to Huntsville. And my car overheated. And so I got it to a shop and called my friend and was like, hey, I'm stuck here. What are you guys doing today? And he's like, oh, we're going to go have lunch with his parents, who I had not seen in several years at that point. So he came and picked me up, went and had lunch with them. And it was the first time, like I said, that I'd seen his parents in a long time. And I grew up in that house. First time I've been in that house in a long, like 20 years, probably at that point, well, 15 years, let's say at that point. And so when we showed up on the porch, they opened the door and his mom rushed past her granddaughter and her daughter-in-law and her son and hugged me because that's the first time we'd seen each other in a long time. So she passed away end of last week. This morning on my way into work, same car, overheated.
Oh, wow.
Other than that, I really have no connections. I mean, I was pulling in to get something for breakfast, takeout line. And when I pulled in, car started overheating. So I pulled over, turned it off, went in, got the food, went out, started my car up and made it, you know. Once I restarted, went into the office and made it back home. But I was like, you know, that's Judy. That's Judy saying, yep.
Right.
Yep. That's her.
Did you tell your friend?
I haven't yet. Well, that's a story for another time. Yeah. but it was really strange. That's the last time the only reason I saw her the last time I saw her was because my car overheated.
Yeah.
And then like within 3 or 4 days of her passing away,
that's fascinating.
The same car for the first time since then overheated,
but it didn't do much damage though. I mean,
But yeah, it was just, turned the car off.
It's overheating.
And then, that's interesting.
And then started it back up. And, you know, believe me, I'm going to take it into the garage tomorrow to make sure. But
yeah.
But the thing was, it was just like overheated, and then turned it off, restarted. And just that this was in a couple of days of finding out that she had passed away. And that is the only reason we saw each other that time was because this same car had overheated.
If it happens again, you'll know it's her. At least now you'll know who it is.
I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit of a stretch, but it's interesting. Yeah.
It is.
It's like your story, Trish, after your sister died, and that hummingbird comes right up to you. I mean, we don't see hummingbirds very often. And this one came right up to you.
And just right in front of my face, so close I could see the color of its eyes.
I just think what's beautiful, John, about that is you had the foresight to, when it happened, think about her and go, and it flooded your memory with the last time you met her, this happened. So you were able to put two and two together, where most people would sit there and go, well, you know, I'm in a hot climate, the car is overheated. I'll get it checked out and think nothing of it.
Exactly.
But you started thinking about this experience, so that's where I think it is her letting you know she's okay, because she knew you would think about this.
No, that's absolutely what came to my mind, because I was like, it was a long time. There was a long period of time to that point, and wasn't even on the agenda, but at the end of the day, I'm so glad my car overheated that day because I did get to see her that last time. Because I grew up with her.
That's a great story. Yeah, fascinating.
That's spirit contact for sure.
Spirit contact, also synchronicity.
We write
about synchronicity a lot and talk about it and have these experiences, but sometimes, you know, they pass right over by us too. And a week later or 2 weeks later, I thought, wow, how did I miss that one? It was so obvious, you know, I mean, at the time.
Well, sometimes you just get wound up in life, you know,
and what you're doing. You miss it. And then it comes, I had an example of that. I can't think of it now, but it just, you know, I can understand why a lot of people don't notice, you know, but as you're more aware of synchronicity, you know, and open to it, that's the important thing, is being open to it, you know, and if you think it's all coincidence and nonsense, you know, then it doesn't happen. You don't think about it. Sometimes, you know, we notice on news shows that somebody will say something, that's a synchronicity, but they don't know it, you know.
they don't use the word
coincidence.
Like, I love the synchronicity we have of I'm being on this show, and then in an hour we're premiering you being on my show same night, and it just worked out that way. And I was like, how's, you know, synchronistic is it? And we were able to make it work, and make our schedules work. So it worked out, and here we are. And we almost screwed up though.
Rob and I.
Yeah. I will say, in full transparency, ever since I did that recording with them, I started talking with people and noticed, without any programming or any, you know, agenda, the word synchronistic starts flowing from my vocabulary. And I'm like, oh, you know, I think it's like a synchronicity that this is happening. And I'm like, wait, what? Why suddenly am I saying this word a lot? And I think it's like Rob and Trish were saying, you know, once you're aware of it, you're aware of it. And here I'm now aware of how much I say it without realizing how much I've been saying it.
Right. And that means you experience it a lot.
Yeah, you do. And, but you don't, you know, we don't always notice, but you're noticing much more, you know.
Yeah, like an example today is, and you guys might find this interesting, is every morning we try to make the city pool, when it's open, at 10 a.m. So there's not a lot of crowd, so you have time. You can do whatever you want to do in your little corner of the pool. And today we had so much going on, we didn't make it to the pool until around 2 o'clock. And we were like, well, you know, we may not stay long because this is when the crowds are going to be there. We found out when we got to the pool, there were like 85 people in the water in the morning. It was crowded. A camp surprised them. And they were like, you actually came at a better time in the afternoon today than in the morning. And we were like, we didn't plan it. And my mom and I looked at each other and go, wow, you know, it's really kind of interesting how we worked out being here at the right time, even though it's not our right time. And I was like, in my mind going, synchronicity.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
We knew, but we didn't know why we knew.
Right. Yeah. It's like the unconscious mind knew that that was a better time. And, you know, you followed through without really realizing it. Let's ask one more final question. What do you hope, Michael, to accomplish in the paranormal field, you know, for the future, maybe for future generations to come?
That's a really good question, and I would say most people would say leaving my mark and, you know, leaving a legend and leaving experiences behind, but I think my answer actually goes a little bit deeper of I want people to realize when they say paranormal field, that they don't limit themselves to going, okay, we're going to do haunted houses or go to buildings that are haunted because right. That's paranormal investigating. I want people to know, I call it fringe paranormal because nobody really wants to talk about it. I'm like, I want the future generation to know everything that's unexplainable is in their domain or possibility to explore, and want them to have that drive to go in and step into that where others may be like, nope, this is what we do. This is our niche. This is what everybody wants.
There was that curiosity.
Yeah. And they break the mold and say, no more of we're only going to go to haunted forts or haunted buildings or haunted houses, that we're going to go into a field and look at the sky, see what's out there, or go and look at this place and go, is there a portal here? Right. And start to push the boundaries of what is accepted and going, what else can be explained here? Uh-huh. Is it dimensional? Are we seeing two different timelines? Or is it residual aspects going on here? Are we seeing into a parallel universe? You know, and all these different things that people don't want to kind of engage because they're like, well, we can't prove that. I'm like, well, you can't prove there's a ghost either.
Yeah.
So that argument to me washes out, and I'm like, you just don't believe in this, so you're not going to engage it. That's fine. But my hope is future generations will sit there and have the courage to go, you know, maybe there's a Stargate over here. Let's go investigate, get a group of people, test the theory.
Let's explore.
Say, yes or no, there isn't.
Yeah.
But at least they tried and were open to and not closed off to things. And so I would say that's where I would like to see the future of the paranormal field go, is it's open to everything and not limiting itself.
Right.
And they're exploring everything.
Including time travel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, people say, oh, time travel in the past is not possible, because you could kill your grandfather and that would, you know, you wouldn't be alive. But it's really what a time travel of the past about is interdimensional travel,
mm-hmm.
to a parallel world very similar to the one we exactly lived in, but not the identical one, because, you know, you're by the very action of going back in time to that point, you're changing the past, mm-hmm. you know.
Or you were always meant to go, in which case you kept the timeline congruent.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you can go in circles on that one.
Yeah.
Cut.
Everything, everywhere, all at once.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Thank you very much, Michael.
Oh, this is great. Oh. We really apologize again for screwing up at the beginning.
I actually have a time travel experience, if I can share real quick.
Sure. Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
I was at Vicksburg and the battlefield, and we were touring it, and I'm sitting in the car, and I say to my mom, I can smell the gunpowder. I can smell the blood in the air. I can taste the grittiness of the air, and I can see, like, people moving. I didn't see them as apparitions. I saw actual troops and people moving. And I could hear the whispers, the snapping of the branches on the ground, and
jeez.
Everything. And all my senses were firing. And I thought, oh, wow, you know, how cool to have this past life memory playing out like a movie so much. Well, I was interviewing Dr. Heather Langdon, I believe her name is. And she goes, Michael, were all your senses in that moment in that battlefield? And I said, yes, actually they were. She goes, that's because you time traveled there.
Oh, wow.
All your senses are in that area, in that experience. She says, you're actually there watching and experiencing it. So she's like, you time traveled.
And it could also be a past life experience as well.
Yeah, it could be both. Right.
Yeah, very, very much. Yeah.
Huh.
Right.
Now, so, what does she do? Is she a?
She's a psychologist.
Okay.
And just and she has paranormal shows that she hosts. But to me, I'm with you, Rob. Is I think because of past life there, it's probably I was able to connect to.
Right.
The past easier, and it opened up and played out.
Yeah.
But I thought it was an interesting way to look at time travel, because it's not like what we would define time travel as.
Yeah, yeah.
There's we just topic did a, for a novel, Rob.
Right, yeah. We just did a podcast about time travel with, well, Trish and I had little experiences in time travel.
Nothing like yours, but...
begin with, but then there's a major one that takes place in Bermuda with a guy in the National Guard, and who meets a woman who's in the Navy nursing corps meet, and they go to this
the whole thing, let them listen.
They meet each other, and they're very familiar with each other, and they walk into this village, and when he goes back, and she had to go back to the States the next day, but he goes back to, because kind of relive his experience in that village, and there's no village. and then he finds out it was destroyed. St. Catherine and Bermuda was destroyed in the huge 1870 hurricane. Yeah.
Wow, that's a whole nother level, isn't it?
It really is.
Hey, real quick, Michael, where can they find you?
So the easiest way is my Linktree. It has all my YouTube pages and Facebook and Rumble, but pretty much I can tell you
LinkedIn
and about. LinkedIn, yes. Yeah. And if you look up my show titles, on Rumble and YouTube. You can pretty much find my channels. And I have my own YouTube channel. It's under my name, Michael Koff. And so...
Spell your name, Michael, for listeners.
It's M-I-C-H-A-E-L. Last name is K-O-P as in Paul, F as in Frank.
Thanks for joining the Mystical Underground. Visit www.themysticalunderground.com for the latest blog post and book info. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. Listen to the podcast at podcast.themysticalunderground.com. Follow Trish and Rob on Instagram at Trish and Rob McGregor. Follow us on Twitter at The Mystic Cast. Send email to podcast@themysticalunderground.com. And until next week, thank you for listening and stay mystical.